Last night's spotlight focused on pension plans for people severely injured in the Troubles. It was a key point in the Stormont House Agreement. It would be given to around 400 people with permanent disabilities, including amputation, paralysis and blindness. But Spotlight said 10 of that number would be paramilitaries from both sides of the divide. The DUP are preparing a bill to go through Stormont, but plan to exclude anyone with a terrorist conviction, which Sinn Féin say they will not support. The DUP MP, Geoffrey Donaldson's with us today. Morning to you, Geoffrey.
Morning, Stephen.
And morning. The Sinn Féin MLA, Chris Hazard. Mr. Chris Hazard, good morning to you.
Morning, Stephen.
Good to talk to you. Geoffrey, if in the round we're saying that there's a pass that we need to look after everybody and understand everybody's story in it, why wouldn't someone with a terrorist conviction be looked after?
Well, I just think that it's wrong that the state should compensate or pay people who were engaged in acts of terrorism, who were out to take the lives of others and to cause destruction in our country. There is a precedent for this, Stephen, the Criminal Injury Compensation Scheme, which provides compensation to the victims of violence in Northern Ireland. It excludes from the receipt of compensation a person who has been convicted of a terrorist offence or a membership of a terrorist organisation. So, you know, precedent is already created in law that you do not compensate those who were out to cause destruction and who were injured by their own hands.
So take, Geoffrey, the scenario of, I don't know, someone in the past who was 16, 17, 18 years of age, influenced by older people, you know, dragged in before they had the maturity to realise it was wrong to a paramilitary group and got severely injured, had a permanent disability. You wouldn't provide some type of money to that person?
Well, the state already provides benefits for people who have disabilities. What we're talking about here, Stephen, is a special pension to compensate those who, but through no fault of their own, and that's the key element of this, who through no fault of their own lost the ability to earn an income and to generate a pension for their retirement. That's what we're doing here. And I just don't think that we should be paying that pension, that additional special pension, to someone who, through the fault of their own actions, were injured. I take, for example, the Shankill bomb. There were 9 innocent people who were murdered in that bomb explosion. One of the bombers was also killed, another seriously injured. Would it be right in those circumstances to pay a pension to the Shankill bomber in the same way that we would pay a pension to someone who was seriously injured as actions of that bomber? I don't think that would happen in any other democratic society, and I just don't think that it's morally...
Thomas Begley was the bomber who was killed. Were his parents not a victim?
Well, that is not relevant in this case, Stephen, because we're talking about the payment of a pension to those who were seriously injured.
Touches the wider issue of the definition of a victim, though.
Well, and you know our view on this, Stephen, and I've articulated that view on your programme many times before. We believe that the definition of a victim should relate to those who lost loved ones or who were seriously injured as a result of the
were the parents of Thomas Begley victims?
Well, in respect of this pension, no, in our view they are
in respect
not
of the definition of a victim.
Well, the wider definition of a victim, which we don't agree with, does at the moment render Thomas Begley's parents as victims, because it says the definition relates to anyone.
Sure.
Who...
But do you think they're victims, Geoffrey? Parents who lose a child, yes, their child was a bomber, but do you think they're victims? You?
Not in the same way that I think that innocent civilians or members of security forces who were murdered by terrorists are victims. I think there is a clear distinction to be made.
Chris Hazard, you don't draw a distinction at all.
I think there's a double standard here when it comes to the DUP analysis of this. And, you know, I think at the outset it needs to be very clear. Like, you can only be struck, I think, by the compassion of some of the people who spoke on this programme last night. I listened to Paul Gallagher speak, and he spoke of the need and I agree with him entirely, not to play party politics with, but to meet the needs of human suffering. And I think this is something that the DUP need to seriously look at. Why I don't hear some of these questions that Jeffrey's raised. He never raised any issues when it came to the, you know, the £500 million paid for RUC reforms, or the £250 million paid for the payoff of UDR and RIR soldiers. You know, you only have to look at Panorama last week to see that an awful lot of these security forces were, you know, allegations hangover of collusion and everything else. I didn't hear any recriminations from the DUP at that time. You know, if we are to truly build a society going forward, if we are truly to heal some of the scars of our past, then we can't exclude, there must not be a hierarchy of victims. That will only send us backwards. At the end of the day, one of the reasons why we had a conflict in the first place was exclusion and discrimination. We must not return to that place.
Go on, Geoffrey.
Well, I've listened to what Chris has said. And first of all, I would say to Chris that any member of the security forces who has been convicted of a terrorist offence or been involved with a terrorist organisation, a member of that organisation, would be excluded from our scheme, and because it excludes anyone, regardless who they are, who've been involved in terrorist activity. And we make and draw a very clear distinction there. And so does the Criminal Injuries Compensation Scheme. And Chris talks about compassion. You know, what about compassion for the driver of a school bus in County Fermanagh? The IRA planted a bomb under that bus. It was packed full of school children. Ironically, at the time, my colleague Arlene Foster, who's now the finance minister, was sitting on that bus when the bomb exploded under the driver. And if you listen to what Cecil said last night, I think he made a fair point that Chris chooses to ignore, which is that he doesn't think it's right that those who planted that bomb should be regarded as victims in the same way that he is a victim. And you know, I think in any reasonable society, people would understand that distinction.
Geoffrey, but the point here is I don't look through the lens of recrimination. You know, we have to look at this in the whole. You know, and this is, you know, and this is, you know, and let me be clear about this. We fully support a fair and equal pension right now to meet the needs of those victims who are severely injured. At the end of the day, and I think this is one of the messages that's coming from the victim sectors and coming from those victims, is we need to stop hearing the talking. We need to see action. We need to see this now. And Sinn Féin are very clear. Let's put in place a pension that deals with absolutely everybody. We should not be creating a hierarchy of victims. We should not be setting one set of victims aside for some reason, you know, for right and wrong. There are no good guys and no bad guys. We're coming out of a period of our history where there's severe suffering and grief on all sides. You know, I only have to look. I wasn't even 10 years of age when the Lochan Island massacre occurred just a few miles from my home. Like, this is where loyalist gunmen broke into a bar and shot dead 6 people and severely injured a number of other people. Weapons supplied by the British state. You know, agents run by the British state.
And if any of those gunmen had been injured, you would have supported them now getting a payout, would you?
But I'm talking about here. There's real needs. You know, look at the RUC and UDR.
Could you address that question? Could you address that question, Chris? If any of those same gunmen had been injured, would you support them now getting a payout for what they did?
No, hold on. This isn't a payout, Stephen. We're talking here about a pension. We're talking about meeting the needs of severely injured people. And that's important. And I think we all have to be, and everybody in society has to be prepared to be able to deal with this in a compassionate way. Remember, I just said, the British state have spent over £1 billion on reparations for British security.
So it's all or nothing, Chris, as far as you're concerned. Either everybody gets it or nobody gets it.
No, we need to, I think we need to move away from such terms. We need to make sure, why should we divide in this? We should be standing together and say, look, let's meet the needs of everybody here. And this is international best practice. If you look at transitional justice all around the world, it's not about dividing down. It's about meeting the needs of everybody.
Geoffrey, is it only those, this bill that's gone through Stormont, and the DUP plans to exclude, I notice, anyone with a terrorist conviction. Is it only those with an actual conviction, or would you also exclude those who are suspected of terrorism? Geoffrey's just dropped off the line. We'll come back to him very shortly indeed. Here's John in Belfast. Morning, John.
Stephen, the recent programme on collusion, which basically showed special branch handlers who were in charge of murder gangs, for example, that Mount Vernon team, I've had, now, none of them special branch handlers have been taken to the courts or anything like that there. If one of those special branch handlers were then injured in the line of duty, would they be entitled to a pension, even though they were also victim makers?
What do you think?
I think that anyone who was involved in the war, which was a war, which Jeffrey Donaldson seems to forget, are entitled, everyone is, would be entitled to a pension. You cannot make the difference between victims.
Okay.
Now, if he is saying that anyone with any links to powered militarism is then not eligible for a pension, that should also include special branch handlers and go right up to the top of the MOD.
Well, let me just pick up the question, because Jeffrey fell off the line. You're back with us, Jeffrey, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Right, morning to you again. Let me just ask the same question just before you dropped off. This bill that the DUP are preparing to go through, Stormont, it includes anyone with a terrorist conviction. Would it also include those who aren't convicted but were suspected of terrorism offences?
Well, again, we would use the same criteria as used in the criminal injuries compensation scheme, and because that's where the legal precedent lies.
And what is so, that?
Well, if you have someone who it is believed was a member of a paramilitary organisation, and there is clear evidence for that, Stephen, we're not talking about suspicion, we're talking about clear evidence for that, then they are excluded from benefiting.
But even if there's no conviction?
There are two categories. One is conviction of a terrorist offence, and the other is membership of a terrorist organisation. And we believe that on both points, the person should be excluded from benefiting, as is the case at the moment under the criminal injury.
But surely, Jeff, I don't understand. Surely there has to be a conviction for ultimate proof that someone has been the member of a terrorist organisation.
And normally that would be the case, yes. Right. And the criminal injuries compensation scheme applies, we believe the same criteria should apply on this. And so, to take up the point...
No, hold on, because I need to understand this for future programmes. So are you proposing to go wider than excluding people with a terrorist conviction? Are you proposing to also exclude people who are suspected of terrorism offences?
Well, where there is evidence that they've been involved or a member of a terrorist organisation, then they ought to be excluded. Obviously...
But who decides whether the evidence is credible or not?
Well, there will be a panel that will sit. And at this stage, we're drafting the bill, so it's early days. And the detail needs to be worked out with the lawyers and the assembly drafting.
But surely the logic of what you're arguing, Jeffrey, is that you're completely, therefore, abandoning the presumption of innocence, one of the fundamental pillars of our society, unless a court has found you guilty. You're now talking about if people are suspected of terrorism, they would be excluded too.
No, that's not what I said, Stephen. I said where there is clear evidence.
If there's clear evidence, they would have been convicted.
I was very clear. I didn't say that it was based on a suspicion.
If there was clear evidence, they would have been convicted. If they're not convicted, why are you excluding people who do not have a conviction?
There is the right, as there will be the right, as there is the right under the Criminal Injuries Compensation Scheme, to appeal. There will be a panel who will look at the evidence that has
But Jeffrey, just help me understand this. Why are you excluding people who have not been convicted by a court?
Well, as I've said, Stephen, we have to look at the detail of how this will work out. But my understanding of the Criminal Injuries Compensation Scheme is that if there is evidence, and I use the word evidence, I don't say suspicion, evidence, that a person has been a member of a terrorist
Evidence can be disputed, as you know.
And there will be an appeal process, Stephen. There will be an appeal process, but and there will be an independent panel who will make that decision.
So they become judge and jury now, the independent panel, rather than real court.
That's the way the world works, and you can take...
It's not the way the world works.
There is nothing to stop an individual judicially reviewing a decision. Of course the courts are there, Stephen, but at the end of the day, what I am seeking to do is to protect the integrity of this scheme so that we are very clear that a pension is paid to innocent victims, to people who were injured through no fault of their own, who lost the capacity to earn and to provide a pension for themselves in retirement. This is a very, very specific scheme, Stephen. It has a very specific purpose,
okay.
And I just think it would be wrong if that scheme were used to benefit someone who was a member of a terrorist organisation or engaged in acts of terrorism.
OK, Geoffrey, I know you have to go this morning, so thank you. Chris Hazard, your reaction to that?
This shows the complete fallacy of the DUP's position. You know, Panorama presented plenty of evidence last week of extensive collusion. As Geoffrey suggesting, this is what I take it, this is what Geoffrey's saying then, that we can then take that as fact, that the DUP can be judge and juror and start to go against all principles of transitional justice anywhere and anywhere else in the world and start to do this. I think it's completely crazy. And, you know, Geoffrey talks about this is early stages of working out a bill. These people we're talking about now have severe needs now. They need this pension now. I think we need to move forward with putting in place a pension for severely injured people right now. We cannot wait any longer.
OK, Chris, thank you. Paul Gallagher is listening to this this morning. Paul's one of those victims who featured in last night's Spotlight. Paul, you were shot six times by loyalists and left paralysed. Good morning.
Morning, Stephen.
How do you feel about this?
Well, it's a tough question to answer. And I've sort of struggled with it over the years before I sort of came to my own conclusion. My answer has actually changed over the years. Like in the early days, I used to harbour thoughts of revenge, which sort of would have stemmed from the fear and the hatred of these men with the woody faces to come into my home. I used to imagine sort of maybe fanning them and mowing them down in my car and maybe leaving them paralysed like myself.
Just share with us the image in your mind of what happened to you, Paul, just so that we get the gravity of this.
Well, Steve, my home was taken over. My family, we were held hostage for an hour and we didn't know what was going on. And when they left, they went at the door, they kicked the door open to the living room and started firing bullets into the room. I was shot, left to die in the armchair. But
did they point the gun at you, or did they just shoot all around them?
No, well, they pointed the gun at me, and then supposedly they sprayed the room too, but the gun had jammed. Maybe the rest of my family would have been killed. But
and you were hit six times?
I was hit six times.
Where on your body?
It was hit all over. It was hit in my arm. It was hit in my thigh. My femoral artery was severed, and I nearly bled to death. My spine was damaged. I lost my spleen. I lost part of my lung. So I mean, it was serious injuries from a guy standing no more than a matter of a couple of yards away with an automatic machine gun.
And so the loyalist thug who did this to you, if he had have been subsequently injured in some other type of criminal activity, paramilitary activity, how would you feel about him now all these years later getting a pension?
Well, it's something that, it's a difficult choice, but it's something that I would have to accept. I've accepted a lot of things over the years. So, I mean, I've accepted that prisoners have been released and people have been reintegrated back into society. I accept the peace process. And accept that for the reason that I don't want it to happen again. You know what I mean? Victims are victims. You know what I mean? It's all about human suffering. It gives you victimhood. It's not about being judged by the likes of Geoffrey or somebody else to go, no, you're a good victim, you're a bad victim.
So you don't.
We need to get away from all that.
So you don't distinguish Paul from someone, well, so let me give you another example. You do not distinguish from someone who plants a bomb under a car in a town centre and runs away and hides, and women and children are then walking along that street and are blown up. You don't distinguish between that person who may be subsequently injured and another type of victim, and you, who were sitting in your home.
There is a difference in what happened, but there's no difference in the hurt that people are feeling now and the hurt that maybe their family have to deal with. Do you know what I mean? So there's no difference that way. You asked about Thomas Bailey's family. Do you know what I mean? Okay, he was involved in it, but his family are victims. Do you know what I mean? The guy that shot me was later killed himself. There's a family of victims too, of sons and daughters that he left behind. Their victims are feeling the same hurt as other people will feel when they look around the room and don't see their loved ones. Or so it's, we'll have to move beyond the whole we're better victims than you, and it's black and white and good and evil and deserved and undeserved. We need to see the victim who's more complex. As I was saying to you at the start of this, I could have easily went out. Like, I had thoughts of going out and fending these people and mowing them down in the car and leaving them paralyzed, but those sort of thoughts and emotions are damaging. They could just eat away at you. So I sort of chose to move away from vengeance and punishment. They really did it more for self-preservation, so they wouldn't let this take over my life. I mean, I now look beyond the balaclava and see, try to get people back their humanity, try to bring them back and bring the society back to a better place rather than constantly looking back and forward. And the water battery of it all, it just, we hear every day, that we heard, we hear every day on your radio show. Do you know what I mean? So that's the sort of place we need to get to.
I'm just trying to think in my own head. I hesitate to ask this question, but I'm just trying to think, you know, would anybody in this society here in the UK tolerate a member of Al-Qaeda who got injured being described as a victim?
Well, they may and they may not. I mean, I can understand where people are coming from. They're hurt. Do you know what I mean? They are hurt, and they can't obey their loved ones being seen on an equal plane with somebody who they despise. Do you know what I mean? That people say that they're speaking for victims, and victims will be offended by these sort of qualifications. But I get down to just human suffering and the need of victims on the ground is what's needed to look after. Do you know what I mean? You need to bring the whole society together. Can't just exclude people. You know, if these people go forward for help with the NHS, you're going to turn around and say, "No, you're not. What, no, you're not getting help from your doctor." Do you
what
know what, I
mean? What message? I guess here's the dilemma. What message does it send to the next generation that we don't distinguish, that we do not distinguish, Paul, between someone who chooses to murder and someone who doesn't, someone who chooses to take the life of another human being and someone who doesn't?
You're talking about here, like, there was, people have free will, but there is other factors, mitigating factors that you have to bring in. Do you know what I mean? Like, I could have went down the route of vengeance, and I could have been what people call a victim maker if I had went out and sought revenge. Do you know what I mean? It would have been very easy to do, and it would have been a very understandable thing for me to do, and people would have went, "Oh, well, that's fair enough. He did that out of revenge." But that was then. We need to get to a place where revenge isn't the first emotion that we jump to. There needs to be a better way, Stephen.
And that, I guess your argument is that takes forgiveness.
Well, call it forgiveness, call it whatever. I know what I mean. I call it self-preservation. It's those sort of feelings will eat away at a human individually, but it'll also eat away at society, families. It'll just move beyond and the whole society, do you know what I mean? We'll be looking at victims and going, "What are they thinking?" If they're asking for revenge, well, people will go along with victims and go, "Well, they're right. They asked for that. We should punish, and these other people deserve what they get."
What's the extent of your paralysis, Paul?
See, I'm paralyzed from the waist down. Do you know what I mean? I can't walk. I can't move my legs. But that brings with it a.
And you still feel pain, though, don't you? Some people think if you're paralysed, you don't feel
anything. No. I feel pain and have done every day. Some days worse than others. It's a feeling of a described last night on the show of like being sitting in a pool of lava, of a burning sensation. Like sometimes it feels as though my feet are in a vice, being crushed. Do you know what I mean? And it brings with it loads of other worries. Do you know what I mean? Even the talk about the other week about prescription charges coming in and those sort of things. Like, see, people like myself, I go through so many prescriptions a week. I go through dozens of catheters every week. Do you know what I mean? That would cost me a fortune to be going to get those things just to help me out with my bladder. And with those catheters then comes infections. So there's antibiotics needed. Do you know what I mean? There's, like, my spleen's gone, so there's no way of fighting infection, really. So I'm on penicillin for that every day of my life. There's loads of things that like a pension like this would help people like myself. Do you know what I mean? So it needs to be brought to a head, and it needs to happen now. Like many of the
How tight are you getting it, Paul?
Stephen, at the minute I'm not on penalties. I'm still living off my compensations that I got many years ago, but it's not going to last forever. And like the likes of myself, the likes of other people, like I seen Jennifer on there last night. She had been given a pension in 1972. Or sorry, a compensation thing. And there were minimal back then. Do you know what I mean? It was sort of based on whether the judge was in a good mood that day. Do you know what I mean? It was a disgraceful system. So people have been left on benefits. There was no disability discrimination laws to get people back out to work. So you were just left on benefits the rest of your life. And that's across the board. Doesn't matter where you come from, if you're disabled. And then, and even with that, then comes sort of the stigma of being injured in the Troubles. You know, I mean, people look at you differently. Do you know what I mean? Like, even the other week, I was at a wedding, and there was a young girl, about 30, and I was talking away to her, and she sort of went, ah, you must have been a bad boy for that to happen to you. Do you know what I mean? That's the sort of judgment you get. And even, like, even I know myself that I was totally innocent, but there was a book written about what happened to me a couple of years later. It was the book about the life and crimes of Johnny Adair, who, and they were talking about this incident, and they said the reason they shot me was because I was an IRA man. Do you know what I mean? So any gullible reader could read that and go, well, he must have deserved it. And that's the same for many victim survivors across the board. So there's all sorts of complexities when you're looking at victimhood. It's not just this black and white, good and evil.
It's possible, Paul, that the Stormont stalemate will result in people like you not getting a pension. What do you say to the politicians, the MLAs listening this morning?
They're going to have to deal with the past in an honest way. You can't tie up and interweave welfare reform with victims' issues and say that it can all, if it all collapses, then everything collapses. I mean, it's been dealt with in a piecemeal way over the years, and it's just not doing this place any good. It needs to be dealt with. It needs to be properly resourced for a start. I mean, you can't just... it's so frustrating. I despair sometimes, really, Stephen.
Paul, thank you for talking to us today, sir. Thank you.